Welcome to our closing weekend teaching for Don't Let Go. I think this has been a hard study, y'all, but also an important study that's given us deeper insight and understanding into the minor prophets, books that some of us, I'm not naming any names, but mine might be one, may have avoided for many times over the years. But I'm grateful today for each teacher who joined us for these teachings. And I'm always especially excited to have Kelly Brown here to share her thoughts. And I can't think of a better topic to close with than God's love for us. We've read so much hard these past weeks. And your teaching today, Kelly, on Oh, How He Loves Us, I can hear the song in my heart right now, seems the perfect way to close. So it's your turn.
Well, as we come to the end of this study, what I hope that you will carry with you is the truth that God has never once released his hold on you. And we may loosen our grip, we may wander, question, struggle, but his hold on us has never once slipped. And so as we close the study, I want to anchor us in one final truth that makes all of this possible. And it's the depth and the steadiness of God's love for us. Because if we're honest, even when we know that truth, we don't always feel secure in it. And that's often because underneath it all, we are still wrestling with a deeper question. Does God really love me? So in this final lesson, I want to press into that question and help us name three common sources of doubt that can distort our view of his love. And those three sources are our circumstances, our view of ourselves, and our view of God. And I want to start by just addressing, why is this even important? You know, what is the deeper impact of doubt? And this is something that Katie McCowan shared, our first five writer who wrote the study guide for Don't Let Go. And she pointed out that doubting God's love isn't just like a private internal struggle. It actually reshapes everything. Because whether we realize it or not, what we believe about God's love becomes the lens through which we see everything else, our relationship with him, our identity, and even the way we treat the people around us. That's what really stood out to me. And so scripture makes it clear that how we understand God's love directly affects how we relate to him and to other people. In 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11, we're essentially told that those who know God love others, and those who do not love others do not truly know him. And that's strong language, but it reveals something important. Our ability to love isn't something we manufacture, right? It's something we receive and then reflect. So if we're doubting God's love, if we are questioning whether he's really good or he's really for us, it doesn't just stay contained in our thoughts. It starts to show up in subtle but significant ways. And so we might pull back from God instead of drawing near to him. We may strive to earn his approval instead of just resting in it. And we might become more guarded or critical or distant in our relationships with others. And we might even struggle to extend grace because we're not fully convinced that we've received it. But when we are rooted in the truth that we're deeply loved by God, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, everything begins to shift. And we can approach him with confidence instead of hesitation. We live from acceptance instead of striving for it. And we begin to love others not out of obligation, but as this natural overflow of what we have already received. The love of God was never meant to stop with us. It transforms us, and then it moves through us. So now that we know why it is so important to truly believe that God loves us, let's take a look at the three sources of doubt that can creep in. The first source is our circumstances. There is often a gap between what God declares to be true and then what we actually feel. And we saw this clearly in Malachi 1 this past week. God says, "I have loved you." And his people respond, "How have you loved us?" And their response is not just a question. It's kind of a challenge. It's a quiet accusation. If you love us, why does our life look like this? And if we're honest, we've been there too. When life feels hard or confusing, or unfair, we start interpreting our situation as evidence of God's absence, or maybe even worse, his indifference. And we're all susceptible to this. I went through this years ago when Scott and I were trying to expand our family, and we had experienced multiple miscarriages. But the one that was the hardest for us was when we miscarried twins. And part of that, I think, was because Scott's a twin, and I had always, since I was a child, wanted twins. And we had known that there were some complications. And so we had all these people praying. And I kept telling the Lord, like, God, if you will just save these babies, like, you will get all the glory, because all these people know we are looking to you for healing, and we're looking to you for a miracle. And I just thought, God, this would be so amazing for people to see you work in this situation. Well, I ended up miscarrying. And like 9 or 10 months later, I realized that I was feeling distant from God and wasn't really dealing with this particular miscarriage as well as I had the other ones. And so I went to see a Christian counselor, and she told me, she said, Kelly, the problem is you do not believe that God loves you. And honestly, I was insulted, because I was in seminary and I was like, I have a solid, you know, theology, and I know that God loves us all. And what does she mean that I do not think God loves me? Like, I am not that elementary in my faith, right? But after a few hours of just really thinking through and processing the conversation, I realized that she was correct. And I was perceiving God's love for me through my loss. And we cannot do that, friends. We cannot let our circumstances dictate our perception of God's love. In my eyes, I thought if God truly loved me, he would have saved those babies. And it wasn't even a conscious belief. That's the thing. It had really slipped in. And that's why we just need to be aware when we're feeling distant from God. We need to take a look and think, okay, what are our circumstances? And are my circumstances influencing how I see God and his love for me? So that's the first source of doubt. Another source is how we view ourselves. When we are aware of our sin or our inconsistency or our failures, it becomes difficult to believe that we're truly lovable, you know, that we're worthy of God's affection and love. His love, however, is not based on our performance or our accomplishments or even our faithfulness. It is rooted in his character, not our consistency. But that's kind of hard for us to grasp. When we start to measure his love by how we're doing, we're always going to come up short. On our worst days, we might assume that he must feel distant or disappointed, but scripture tells a different story. And Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, but God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, God did not wait for us to get it together before he set his love on us. He moved toward us at our worst. And so the question isn't, am I lovable enough? The question we need to really focus on is, do I trust what God says is true about his love? And the more we read the truth about God's love in his word, and it's sprinkled all throughout scripture, the more our head knowledge will become our heart's conviction. Okay, and then the third source is how we view God. Sometimes, without realizing it, we project our human understanding of love onto him. And we assume that his love is as fragile and conditional or inconsistent as ours. And that's where things start to unravel. The clearest display of God's love is that he sent his son for us. He didn't just say he loved us, he showed us. And as I just mentioned in Romans 5:8, you know, he did this not when we were at our best, but while we were still sinners. So to put it simply, we have to remember that God's love is not like ours. And thank heavens for that. It's not emotional one day and distant the next. It's not dependent on performance or mood or all the things that might influence us in our human experience. God's love is chosen and fixed. And I want to take a moment just to go deeper on this point. This was another truth that Katie McCowan taught in her study guide. She looked at the Hebrew word that is used in Malachi 1:2. For love, and it's ahav, and it carries this depth that we often miss. that particular word includes both a deep affection and a deliberate, faithful choice. So it's not just a feeling or a sentiment, and it's also not just duty or obligation. It's both. So God is saying to his people, I have chosen you. I have set my love on you, and I have and will remain faithful to you. And I also think of Jeremiah 31:3 when he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So what this means is if we are doubting his love, it is not because his love is failing. It is because we're interpreting it through a faulty lens. And we have to remember that God's love for us is just so much grander and deeper and more expansive than any concept of love that we have. And so friends, the next time that you might feel that question rising up, God, do you really love me? I want you to pause and maybe even ask, okay, which lens has been shaping how I see God's love lately? Is it what I'm walking through, how I feel about myself, or who I believe God to be? And sometimes it takes a little bit of thought and thinking through what's been going on in our lives to be able to identify what it is that's distorting our view of God's love. But if we take the time, the Holy Spirit is faithful to show it to us. And when we do that, we can recognize that doubt for what it is. And then we can remind ourselves that that doubt is not a reflection of who God is. It's just a reflection of how limited our understanding of love can be. The truest definition of love is not found in our experiences. It is found at the cross. And if we can just bring ourselves back to the cross, we're reminded that it is a love that pursued us, a love that chose us, and a love that is fixed for eternity.
Goodness, I want to say, and all God's girls said yes and amen. Thank you, Kelly, for giving us tools to recognize the ways that our enemy works over time to instill those doubts in our hearts and minds that God loves us. But even more importantly, for giving us wisdom from God's word on what and where to fix our eyes when we maybe sense that doubt creeping in, or when we begin to look through that faulty lens that you mentioned, which I love how you put it that way, because that's so true. It is always a blessing and a gift to have you. So thank you for being with us today. All right. When I got your teaching yesterday, I spent the morning, part of my morning, tracing verses that reveal God's deep and abiding love for us. And okay, it seems like I found them on every page, but I chose a few to just pray and speak over you today, my friend listening. So please listen to these words from your Father spoken over you as I pray to God. Father, thank you that you alone are the source of my friend's greatest need. You are enough to carry her through whatever she's wrestling with right now. You are her perfect loving father, and love her with a love that extends back to creation and stretches forward to the day she meets you face to face in paradise. Remind her of these words from Romans: who shall separate you, my daughter, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, none of these, because in all these things, she is more than a conqueror through her Father who loves her. Remind her again that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate her from your love revealed to you through your Son, Christ Jesus, her Lord. And finally, Lord, remind her that your steadfast love, it never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Remind her how great is your faithfulness. You alone are her portion. Therefore, remind her she can always trust and place her hope in you. We pray these words that are your living and active words in Jesus' name. Amen.